Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
All right, here we go, rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. Obamacare has morphed into Trump care. It's no different. Everyone knows that. McConnell, the gobbler from Kentucky after he got the coal bill, laughs at us and says tax cuts, oh, forget about it. They'll have to wait. McConnell, head of the Senate, Republican so-called, says tax cuts? No, they're going to have to wait. Mexico, they're going to pay for the wall? Nah. So it's as though Obama is still president, isn't it? In other words, the establishment is still running the country. Now, we've had deck chairs moved around, so I raise a question to the audience today. Who is undermining Trump the most? Is it the progressives? Is it the rhinos? Or are there other enemies within his administration who are destroying his presidency right now as we speak? I decided to write this new book, Trump's War, as a battle plan, because I was curious about how President Trump could make good on his promises, not just because they were big and unprecedented, but because he would face opposition to so many of them. I wrote that on page 6 of this new book. And I said, his biggest fight will not be keeping his promises, but avoiding the pitfall of almost every public servant from small town first selectman to commander in chief. Temptation. Listen to what I wrote. The temptation to be assimilated into the Washington morass is powerful. Surrounded by yes men and women, who will say anything you want to hear, possessing more power than any human being in history, you become convinced of your own, dare I say it, your own divinity. That's right. Obama succumbed. So did the Clintons. They didn't learn from the history they were supposedly taught in school. In Imperial Rome, generals riding through the city in a triumphant celebration were accompanied by an auriga, a slave, who repeatedly whispered in their ear, "Memento homo, remember you are only a man." The enemies within, I write. No, it's not going to be easy. There are armies of special interests on the right and on the left that have trillions to lose if we succeed in restoring this nation and draining the swamp. They're going to fight hard to hold on to their ill-gotten gains, just as the British tried to hold on to their colonies. The celebration ends today. It's time to prepare for Trump's war. This is all in the book, Trump's War, but we're not fighting on battlefields with rifles. We are fighting an entrenched establishment whose weapons of mass destruction are far more devious than those of King George III. Instead of cannons and muskets, the establishment uses a corrupt media and an insidious network of violent agitators to wage a psychological war instead of a military one. Instead of shelling your town, they seek to imprison your mind with political correctness, envy, politics, and intimidation. So I'm going to pause right there, reading from my book, Trump's War, and ask you some pointed questions, because I would like to see what the voters have to say. Who do you think is undermining Trump the most? Who is undermining the agenda that we voted for the most? The progressives are certainly doing all they can, so they're a given. The McConnells, the Ryans, the rhinos, are certainly doing everything they can to undermine him. But I'm getting at something else. Do you think that there are people in his inner circle who are actually undermining him, and who would that be? People have said that perhaps Steve Bannon is a loose cannon whose extreme right-wing views, which, by the way, match mine. Don't get me wrong here. His views match mine. Everything he says, I believe in. However, there's a huge difference between saying it on the radio, writing it on a blog, writing it on a website, and then trying to enact policy for the President of the United States. Huge difference. Big difference. Not the same thing. And I don't think that anyone has really carefully understood that by moving so rapidly and so hard on so many things that were dear to us, in the wrong way, by the way, Steve Bannon may have actually undermined President Trump. That's one opinion that people are floating out there. And I raise the question to you, the audience. You're watching all of this going on. There's another big topic, this WikiLeaks thing with Julian Assange. Is he a patriot or a traitor? We just learned last night that WikiLeaks will allow tech companies, you know who they are, don't you? The new fascist companies, the new monopolies. They've now joined these monopolistic companies like Amazon, Facebook, Microsoft, are now joining with Julian Assange, the hero of WikiLeaks, to get more detailed information about CIA hacking techniques so they can, quote, develop fixes before the information is widely published. I'm not so sure I like this very much. I trust the CIA more than I do WikiLeaks, let me be very clear. And I'll say that again. If that didn't go through your head, I'm not so sure Julian Assange is a hero at this point. Oh, a disruptor he may be, but not all disruptors are to be admired. And in fact, where is the oversight for WikiLeaks? Can you name one person who has oversight over Julian Assange, stuck in that embassy in South America, wherever he's stuck? The Ecuadorian embassy in London, I think? Is that where he is? Who is his oversight committee? At least in America, the CIA putatively has an oversight committee with the Senate Select Intelligence Committee. We know that's a joke under Dianne Feinstein. She should be tried for incompetence and negligence, but put that aside for the minute. As broken as our government is, we have systems in place to conduct oversight over the FBI, over the CIA, over the NSA. Tell me who is the oversight committee for Julian Assange and WikiLeaks. This dump that he is arranging, where he says the CIA lost control of its entire cyber weapons arsenal, is an act of historic, devastating incompetence. Okay, let's say he's correct. Is he helping us by releasing this information? Or is he undermining the United States of America by pretending to protect the United States of America? I'm asking you another question. Is Julian Assange of WikiLeaks a patriot or a traitor? Should Trump grant Julian Assange of WikiLeaks asylum? We will also play the tapes of the brown supremacist Jorge Ramos of Univision, who has shown himself to be a racist, pure and simple. If a white broadcaster ever said what this guy from Univision said, he would have been fired the next second. But because NBC owns Univision, I believe, you know the rest of the story, don't you? Phone number here is 855-407-282. These are very serious topics today. Yesterday I did something that was so out of the political world. I don't know if it fell on deaf ears or people liked it. I'm not going to do it again. It was a show about loss, and if you missed it, you missed probably one of my most, I don't know, human shows, touching shows, human loss. We talked about it, and I had a type script done of the opening monologue. It's up on michaelsavage.com, so you can read it for yourself. You can't hear it anymore, but you can probably read it. But today I want to get back to politics. Who is undermining President Trump? How are we going to help him win this war that we voted for? Donald Trump and the patriots who elected him have vowed to stand, to take their country back. But standing in their way are far-left radicals who've taken over the Democrat Party. Rhinos like Ryan and McConnell and Lindsey Graham and McCain protecting their big business special interests, the War Party. War profiteers with trillions to lose if Trump restores peace. Well, I don't see peace coming, by the way. He just sent Marines to Syria, and it's going to be well beyond 500. We're now on the ground in Syria in big numbers. Is that good or bad? You want more troops in Syria? He said he's going to crush ISIS. Well, Russia unleashed its air force. Maybe we have to unleash our ground troops. Didn't see any vote on that. I thought it was supposed to have a War Powers Act. Every time Obama burped, we screamed he did something wrong. He said, oh, no, he should go to Congress to send troops here or there. He didn't do it. And there were screeches from the right. Whenever Obama did anything, we screeched from the right. Where is the War Powers Act? Why was there no vote on whether we should send troops to Syria? Do I have to mention the liberal media who will stop at nothing to bring Trump down? I have laid out a battle plan for victory in Trump's war. It's a phenomenal architectural plan, chapter by chapter. And I knew what would happen. I knew that Trump, even toward the end of the campaign, before the election, as we saw movement toward liberalism, I said, even if we get 50% of what he promises, that's 150% more than we would have gotten under Hillary. Then I changed it and said, if we get only 20% of what Trump promised, it's 120% more than what Hillary would have done to us or would have given us. So I'm very happy with Donald Trump as president. Don't get me wrong. I mean, please don't get me wrong. But he has a huge war against the enemies within. He has an economic war. He has a war to repeal Obamacare, which, by the way, is interesting. It's Chapter 3. Trump's war to repeal Obamacare. You want some expertise on it? It's right there, Chapter 3. Trump's war for our borders, Chapter 4. 5, culture war. 6, restore the military. Chapter 7, Trump's war against the war machine, in which I write about the liberal warmongers, the neocons, the war profiteers. Chapter 8, Trump's war against the rhinos, the party versus the people, Republican trade traitors, a wall or a fence or a virtual wall. And there are other chapters which you'll hear about in the coming days and weeks for the book, which is out on Tuesday. It is the battle plan, and the reason I wrote it is so that we never forget what he promised us, and we never forget what we demanded of him. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? As slowly we see the deck chairs being rearranged on the Titanic called the USS America, many of us will soon forget what it is we voted Donald Trump to do, what we wanted him to do, but I didn't. Trump's war is like an elephant's memory of promises and, let us say, hopes, all in one place. I have it for you. I wrote it for you. But I want to ask a bigger question, and I'm asking two questions today. Who is undermining Donald Trump the most? McConnell says tax cuts, nah. Border wall, never happened. We see the Obamacare thing has really become just a charade, shuffling cards around. It's fundamentally Obamacare has become Trump care. And the reason is simple. Let's be very honest with each other. Once you give benefits to a large population, you can never take them back. I'm sorry to tell you that. It would be like waking up tomorrow and hearing that Trump has cut Social Security by 20%. Can you imagine what would happen if Social Security checks were cut by 20%? Or waking up tomorrow and hearing that he cut, I don't know, another federal program, Medicare, Medicaid by 20%, or a higher copayment. What do you think would happen to all the people who've gotten used to visiting doctors as often as they want for nothing? They'd scream that something has been taken away from them. Where in the world is it written that you're entitled to go to specialists if you're poor? Tell me where it's written that you're entitled to visit as many doctors as you wish, as often as you want, and demand the top specialists for free. Where? Many of the Russian emigres come over here, and I speak to doctors here in San Francisco who are appalled at the behavior of the Russians in particular, and I've heard this 10, 15 years ago. Everything the Russians were promised under communism, which they never got, they get here in America and they demand it and they spit in the face of the doctor who doesn't give it to them. Free ambulance care, the top of the best of specialists, aides in their houses to take them to a restaurant. How can a country survive with this kind of madness? People are asking. When will it end? It doesn't end with Trump care, apparently. It's the same old game. So again, my friends, we all have a war in our hands, and I'm asking you pointedly, who is most responsible for derailing the Trump revolution? That's number one. And number two, we go to the bigger issue. And I don't know that many of you are going to even respond to it. WikiLeaks, Julian Assange. He's now working with some of the most monopolistic pirates on the planet. Do you realize that Facebook and Google are bigger unto themselves than U.S. Steel was at its height? They're bigger than Standard Oil was when it was a monopoly broken up by the federal government. Why have we heard nothing from the Trump administration about breaking up these huge monopolies and giving others a chance? I mean, there are other people who would like to create Facebook-like companies. Young people would like to do that. Aren't there people who would like to compete with Google? They can't. They're crushed by Google. They're called monopolies. That's called anti-free market, in case you haven't learned that one yet. So now you got Julian Assange, the so-called hero of the truth, lining up with the biggest pirates in the tech world in order to bring down the CIA. And I'll repeat what I say again. You know what? I'd rather have the CIA than Julian Assange looking in on my personal stuff. How do you like that? The CIA has oversight. As poorly as the oversight is conducted, there are checks and balances in place for our intelligence agencies. Tell me what the checks and balances are on this rogue guy, Julian Assange, who we all fear. Every one of us is afraid of him. There's not a person in the country, including me, who is not afraid of what this man might do to them. Did you hear me? Hey, this is a big topic for you. Is he a patriot or is he not a patriot? What is he? Is Julian Assange a patriot or a traitor? That's the show to start with. I hope you like it. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Trump's war against the enemies within. Who is undermining Trump the most? We see that there's going to be no tax cuts, no border wall. God knows what's coming next. $1 trillion in stimulus spending. Let's hope that it's along the lines of privatization. Then the $1 trillion isn't coming from our tax base. I talked about toll roads last week and what they were. But who was undermining Trump the most? Progressives, rhinos, or enemies within? And I want names. Then the WikiLeaks. Now he's lining up with the worst people on the planet. The greediest pirates the world has ever seen. They're not nice, benign guys who run Apple. They're demonic in their power madness and their greed. You're telling me Zuckerberg is a nice person? They're not nice people. These are pirates. These are Silicon pirates. So now he's lining up with them? What does that tell you about Julian Assange? Why is he working with them? Who do you fear more, the CIA or whatever his company is, WikiLeaks? Who do you fear most, Julian Assange or the CIA? Tell me, which of the two devils do you fear the most? The CIA has some oversight. Julian Assange has zero oversight. These are huge questions for you.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
No, that's terrible. That's a terrible. I'm sorry. I called for it the last minute. I said get Dylan, but that's not work. Doesn't work with all that noise. This is my favorite segment of the show. The first is the hardest. It's launching the rocket. Takes the most energy. The second is almost impossible to do. It leaves a minute or two after all the ads. The third one, you have a long segment. That's a good one. That's here we are. Then the fourth one is, again, usually leaves a minute or two. It's hard to summarize. This is amazing to me, what talk radio actually is. You get all these ideas out in such short intervals and make sense out of it. Excite the audience sufficiently that they call you. And if I ever told you the mayhem going on around me, you'd say no human being could do what you're doing. To begin with, it's Herculean. But now on top of what you're putting up with behind the scenes, if I ever told you what I went through this morning, you'd never believe a man could perform. Never. A fence being built in the front every 2 minutes, coming in with a clicker. An assistant who can't get the Skype running for tomorrow's interview. The sound doesn't come out. The sound comes in. They can hear you. They can't hear me. I just couldn't take another minute of it. Then an exterminator calling about another. It's unbelievable to me what I can do. But what's more unbelievable to me is that the American people right now are ripped apart. We voted for Donald Trump, and we knew that the rhinos would be a problem. We knew that McConnell was a traitor, a plain old traitor. When I say a traitor, I mean exactly what I said. McConnell is a traitor to everything the word conservative means. Does McConnell stand for borders? No, he said there'll be no money for the border wall. What does he stand for? He's in there only to lobby for his own interests in the state of Kentucky and coal. He got coal. He got the coal mines running. That's great. So now, instead of the money going to the green gangsters in the solar panel industry in San Francisco and a few other places in America, so now it's going back to the coal barons. And let me tell you who one of the biggest winners is in the coal story. You want to hear? You're never going to believe how this world works. Who bought the coal stocks after the coal companies were almost broken by Obama? George Soros. If you ever investigate how much money George Soros is making because of Mitch McConnell's machinations on the part of the coal industry, you'd be shocked to find out that Soros and McConnell are probably good drinking buddies somewhere. I wouldn't doubt it. I have no way to know it. So who's undermining Trump the most? Progressives, rhinos, or enemies within? Julian Assange, WikiLeaks. Who's a greater threat to us, the CIA or WikiLeaks? When I woke up and I found out that WikiLeaks is going to join with the greatest, the Silicon Pirates, he's getting together with the Silicon Pirates to help the Silicon Pirates fix their devices so the CIA cannot break into them. Tell me who's going to benefit from that, the Islamists. Do you remember the scene that went on in San Bernardino when the wife of the San Bernardino terrorist, the Muslim, who slaughtered his co-workers, do you remember that whole charade with Tim Cook of Apple, when Cook would not give the FBI the encryption codes to get into that iPhone? Not because Tim Cook loved the terrorist. It's because Tim Cook cared only about his company's stock, and he wanted to make sure enough of us kept buying his devices, thinking they'd be permanently safe from intrusion. So the question is, do we want no intrusion? Well, of course, we don't want people spying on us. But at what cost? You want the fanatics running around now? After you catch them, you can't even break into their phones because of the greed of the Silicon Pirates? Is that the world we're living in now? So now who's joining the Silicon Pirates to work against the interests of the CIA? Julian Assange of WikiLeaks. A man without a country, a man without any government oversight, a man with nobody controlling him. Who is more dangerous to us? A CIA that's admittedly overly powerful, not really being at all controlled by the old Senate Select Intelligence Committee that was run by Dianne Feinstein. She did nothing. But at least there is in place some oversight of the CIA and the FBI. They have to answer to somebody. He answers to nobody. Who does he answer to? A llama in Ecuador? Maybe answers to a llama in Ecuador. I don't think there are llamas in Ecuador. There may be yarmulkes in Ecuador, but I don't think there's any llamas. That's a funny joke. Okay, but aside, jokes aside, is Julian Assange the hero that you think he is, or is he a traitor? I believe this is a question that needs to be asked, and no one yet has asked this question that I pose this hour, which is, who poses a greater threat to the American people? The intelligence agencies or WikiLeaks? Has anyone put it that way? Now, the reason I put it that way is not because I'm looking for more trouble than I already have. I already had the man knocking on the window glass and the dog disappearing by the elevator escalator. I already had the two incidents in one 30-minute interval. I'm doing it because it needs to be done. I told you I studied logic and scientific method using only mathematics, not language. I studied this in graduate school. I have to tell you why that's important. I was taught to read Aristotle, converted into mathematical formulae, in order to understand how perfect his mind worked and how his dialogues were written almost in a mathematical perfection, if that makes any sense to you. Well, if you apply mathematics to this equation, the equation becomes, who's more dangerous for we the people, WikiLeaks or the CIA? It's very simple. No one asked the question. I don't see the CIA getting together with Apple to help us, do you? WikiLeaks will allow tech companies access to much more detailed stolen information, which is what it is. Don't say detailed information, it's stolen information, about CIA hacking techniques, so that these pirates, the Silicon Pirates, can, quote, develop fixes before the information is published, WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange said Thursday. This is a big story. So he says, well, the CIA lost control of its entire cyber weapons arsenal. That's a bad thing. But then Google and Apple step in, and they're going to now get more information about how the CIA can hack into their devices and fix it so no one can hack into their devices. So that's very good news for the Islamists here in America. They should be celebrating. I think Julian Assange and Apple, Google, Facebook should celebrate. I think they should all get together and they should celebrate in Arabic somewhere, along with some ISIS members. They should high-five each other somewhere in a bowling alley. Because Now the FBI and CIA are not going to be able to get into the telephones, or rather the iPhones, of people who are trying to kill us? How could that be a good thing for us? How is this a good thing for us when the next Islamo-fascist attack occurs and they capture the guy and they get his phone? And then the government wants to get into that phone, like happened there in San Bernardino. And Tim Cook said, no, Tim Cook should have been thrown in jail. And this is what I mean by a monopoly. He is so powerful, he's more powerful than the government itself. Tim Cook should have been thrown in prison for denying the FBI access to that terrorist's iPhone. But Tim Cook has so much power on Capitol Hill. He has had so much money spread around with so many lobbyists that he became literally the untouchables that we've learned to fear. We heard, remember the old days in the 50s, the untouchables with Elliot Ness? Well, the untouchables then were the gangsters, the mob, right? They were above the law. Nobody could touch them. Who's above the law now? Who can't be touched? The Silicon Pirates. They may look like nice guys. One is with an undershirt, married an Asian woman, having a second baby. That's the PR look. Really, have you seen what he's done lately to someone who tried to report child porn on Facebook? They arrested the person in England who was trying to report child porn, a secret site, and who was involved in that secret site. They arrested the person who was trying to blow the whistle on child porn on Facebook. That's Mr. Undershirt. We're living in very weird times where we may not know exactly what's going on. We see only the handwriting on the wall. Only the shadows on the wall, but I see the handwriting on the wall. The average person out there sees the shadows on the wall of the cave. I actually see the handwriting on the wall of the cave. And I'm bringing it all back to you with these questions. WABC Joseph, line 4. Is he a traitor or a patriot?
Good afternoon, Dr. Savage. As far as I'm concerned, this guy, Assange, should be arrested and tried for crimes against America. Because my safety, your safety, my children's, and my grandchildren are going to pay the consequences in the future because of his actions. I'm really...
You're talking about the rogue runner of WikiLeaks.
Yes, definitely. He's like a...
Well, when I saw he was in cahoots with the Silicon Pirates, I said, something's wrong with this picture.
Yep.
So who do you fear more, the CIA or Julian Assange?
Whoever gives him the most money, he's going to go to. And, you know, in the old days, we used to have something called oil barons and the Rockefellers, and the government tried to break them down. Why can't we break down these huge corporations that are just screwing us over?
Well, how many months have I been talking about bust the trust, break up the Silicon giants who are huge monopolies, crushing competition, and we heard nothing under Obama because he was their best friend, right? But now Trump is president. I've not heard one rumbling about breaking these monopolies. Have you?
No, but he's going against a government or a Senate and whatever that is so... Forget it. I'm not even going to say it because...
All right, I got it. All right, listen, I'm sending you Trump's War out next week. It's a very, very big story we're talking about. Who is undermining President Trump the most is the real question. K-E-R-N, Sandy, line 3. Who is the biggest underminer within the Trump camp?
I'm going to tell you who is undermining. It's his right hand, Kellyanne Conway. And listen, I'm not going to get too much into what you already put out there last week. Your show was brilliant last week, okay? But listen to me. She wants to say she's a lawyer this, a lawyer that. She just wants to get into Hollywood. And she's using Donald Trump as her trampoline.
Yeah, but she's been pushed aside. I think Donald Trump finally saw the danger she posed to his presidency. Everyone saw her for what she was. She was a grandstander. She saw herself as the lead figure in the administration. She was upstaging the president. Every photo opportunity, there she was, flipping the hair. And the last straw for me was the leg thing. The leg thing on the couch with the educators standing in the room. I couldn't believe my eyes. It was a semi-pornographic imagery, I'm sorry to say. And it was so unpresidential. She should have been fired just for that.
Exactly.
But she's gone. She's not undermining him the most. I mean, she's not really influencing him, in my opinion, Sandy. But you get a copy of Trump's War anyway. Stay in the line. All right, now we're going to go back to who you fear more, the CIA or Julian Assange. Who is undermining Trump the most? You know, it's funny, no one has mentioned Steve Bannon. It's unbelievable to me. Bannon is like a loose cannon. Bannon has taken Trump into areas that are wonderful on websites, wonderful on radio, they sound great, without much thought about the effects that these movements would have being done so soon after the inauguration. Why couldn't Donald Trump have begun by rebuilding a steel mill in, let us say, Pennsylvania? Take a skeleton of a steel mill or a coal mine in West Virginia. Go down there. Spend the first 3 months rebuilding factories. Get some of his trillionaire buddies to put a couple of $100 million into some of these defunct factories and mills. Bring life back into these areas. And then slowly do the other stuff. He was misled. It's set and frame. If you studied set and frame, somebody has misled Donald Trump into going into the wrong areas too quickly. And that somebody is a man named Steve Bannon, in my opinion. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Ladies and gentlemen, I bet those bags and puffiness under your eyes are still not going away well. Many of you are asking Chamonix for a great deal on Genucel. Well, Genucel is back with a great discount. Genucel is a luxurious treatment with plant stem cells and anti-aging peptides, which target puffiness and bags under the eye. But something new is waiting for you when you order Genucel, a $50 instant coupon for additional savings on your order. Chamonix will also give you Esotique, which is Chamonix's anti-aging collagen builder. And for results, in 12 hours or less, you're going to get Genucel. Immediate effects as a second free gift. With this deal and today's $50 instant coupon, you can indulge in a 2-month supply of three amazing Chamonix products for much less than department or drugstore brands that don't work. Call 800-SKIN-891, 800-SKIN-891, or go to Genucel.com now. Order Genucel now, get two free gifts and a $50 instant coupon while supplies last. It's simple, 800-SKIN-891, or go to Genucel.com now. That's 800-SKIN-891, 800-SKIN-891. We have breaking news. A man, undescribed man, with an axe attacked the German train station. A man with an axe. No description of the man yet, you understand, because in Europe you can't say it like it is. If you call a Muslim terrorist a Muslim terrorist, you get fined $1,800 and thrown in jail. Man armed with an axe injures several people at Dusseldorf train station, reports claim. I guess they'll say a skinhead did it, or Trump supporters did it, but I tend to think it was not. We'll see soon enough who it was not. We will not see who it was. Not with the Hitlerian skirt running Germany. Big question of the day, is Assange of WikiLeaks a patriot or traitor? Who is undermining Donald Trump the most? Is it someone within his administration? That's the question. Richie on WABC, go ahead, please, 30 seconds or less.
Hello, Michael. Love your show. Been listening to talk radio for 30 years. You're the best. I think it's a tough call. They're both demonic, Assange and the CIA, but I'm on the CIA because that's the central, I call it the central government. That's the central government. They've got more power over us as individuals.
You are correct, but there are oversight committees. Maybe they're not functioning properly, but there are committees in place with oversight over the CIA. Who is over Assange to control him?
I still prefer to say the CIA because those oversight committees, for the most part, are establishment people playing ball.
Right. Well, Dianne Feinstein, if you can imagine, was in charge of the Senate Intelligence Oversight Committee for 6 years. What did she do? She probably made sure they weren't looking into her. Okay, my friend, if you name it, you gain it. What's the name of my new book?
Trump's War. Come on.
I don't know. You come on. The book's coming on to you. Tuesday bookstores, be there or be nowhere. Everybody, the armies of the day, go out there and flood the bookstores Tuesday. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Talk Radio 560, KSFO. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
See that what you see is not what you get, and what you don't get is what you thought you wouldn't get. At this point, things are in array. Mitch McConnell says no tax cuts, no border wall. So we've had the deck chairs moved around on the Titanic, which is still scraping against the... You can hear the hull grinding against the ice. You can hear the rivets popping off the side of the good ship America. I thought we were going to have a swamp drained. I thought Mitch McConnell would be pushed aside. I thought Paul Ryan would go back to becoming a gym rat. But instead, they're running the country. And so we ask ourselves today, who is undermining Trump the most? I don't want to go where you think you should go if you're a Trump hater, because I'm not a Trump hater. I'm a Trump lover. I like Donald Trump personally. I met him. I like him. I backed him not because I liked him. I backed him because his policies, as expressed during the campaign, matched my own. And I have to say right now, we're not too happy with what's happening. We see a lot of disarray. Many of us think that there's somebody or some elements within the administration itself who are purposely misleading Mr. Trump. You heard me. I'll say it again. There may be individuals within the administration who are misleading him, making him go too far, too fast, for example, in the wrong directions. I mean, if it was me, I would have done domestic policy first. I would have rebuilt steel mills in Pennsylvania, West Virginia. I would have taken some of my trillionaire friends who were investing lots of money in America to go out there and put on hard hats and, you know, just show that we're going to put in new factories. And then slowly gotten around to the big picture of national security. But instead, the raging bull, Steve Bannon, comes in. And for whatever the reason is, and by the way, he was a Johnny-come-lately. Let's be very clear. Let's level already here. Where was Steve Bannon a year ago today? Nowhere, running Breitbart. Who is Steve Bannon? Nobody really knows. A year ago, did you hear about him with relationship to Trump? When I was killing myself every day talking about these issues of borders, language, and culture with Donald Trump, Steve Bannon had a miniature show on Sirius or one of those things that no one ever listened to. He certainly didn't get Donald Trump elected. The next thing we wake up, him and the other one, the hair flipper, Barfly, him and Barfly now running America. We don't know how it happened. How did Barfly and the raging bull Bannon wind up running America? And by the way, they were not doing Donald Trump any favors, because in many ways they were leading him in the wrong directions too fast. Okay, so now we come down to what's going on today. We wake up to today, and we read that Donald Trump, as commander-in-chief, has ordered troops into Syria. Did you read about that anywhere? It's not even on the Drudge Report. Robert, is it showing up anywhere? Tanks and American troops in Syria? How did that happen? I don't even know if that's a good thing. Is that a good or a bad thing? I want to face it, but we want to crush ISIS, right? Isn't that how these quagmires get started? With the best of intentions, 500 advisors, then 500 tanks. Then what? What if we woke up in October and we had read that Obama had sent, I don't know, 2,000 troops in and 100 tanks? What would you have done? You would have screamed your shoes off. Where's the War Powers Act? Maniac, dictator. You would have said that, wouldn't you? I don't know. What are we doing in Syria now? Why are we in Vietnam? Why are we in Syria? To crush ISIS? Russia's doing a pretty good job, as is the Iraqi army. So why can't we just supply the Iraqi army with more weapons and the Kurds with more weapons? Why must American boys die for world peace again? I don't know. The answer is I don't know. Who's running the show is the question. Okay, so now we come back to the big picture. No taxes. I mean, no tax cuts. Number two, no border wall. Did they start the wall yet? Did I miss that while I was sleeping? The wall actually started? Now we come to the WikiLeaks story. I wake up to another nightmare. Assange of WikiLeaks announces that he's going to join up together with the Silicon the Silicon Pirates, and those would be the Silicon Pirates of those who run Apple and the other companies, Google. Silicon Pirates, Apple, Google, Samsung. Well, they're not in the Silicon, whoever they are, Samsung, whoever owns them. I have no idea who owns Samsung. But they're going to work together, Google, Apple, Samsung, probably Facebook, with Julian Assange to make sure the CIA cannot develop any ways to invade iPhones, for example. Is this a good thing or is it a bad thing? You know, it's a very hard question to answer, actually, because nobody wants their iPhone accessed, either by the CIA or anyone else. But if we have terrorists amongst us, which we do, they haven't gone away. In fact, more of them have come in than ever in the last few months under Obama. He flooded them in as fast as he could. All the hooded snakes. All the hooded snakes who come in on welfare and sit and pray all day long, praying that this country will drop dead. How in the heck are we going to find out what they're going to do unless the intelligence agencies that we're stuck with, whether you like them or not, can break into their phones and find out what they're about to do to harm us? I mean, let's be clear. Let's not get crazy here altogether. Who's going to do that work for us, but not for the CIA or the FBI? Who's going to do that? So now we learn that WikiLeaks is joining with not the CIA to help them break into the phones of the Islamofascists, but WikiLeaks is joining with, let's say, the iPhone companies to make it easy, to make sure no one can break into iPhones. So I ask you, who is more dangerous? And is Assange of WikiLeaks a patriot or traitor? Should Donald Trump grant him amnesty? Asylum, rather. Now, this is a great question. What if you woke up tomorrow and you heard that Donald Trump was going to grant asylum to Julian Assange? Would you feel good about it or bad about it? Maybe you should put on Mount Rushmore, Julian Assange. Maybe a new face should be Julian Assange, a non-American citizen. He should be on Rushmore now. Not. So that's another question, and I want your answers on this one. These are good questions to me. Yesterday we did a totally different kind of show, and yesterday was about loss, personal loss. That was a great show. I had a grief recovery therapist on, a man from the Bronx. He was great. I loved his call. I loved it. But Joe Hernandez, the grief recovery expert, was talking about how you do that. And he did it all his life. He was a Vietnam vet, lost friends in combat, and became a grief counselor. Then, shockingly, he lost his 23-year-old son just last July to... We didn't talk about why. I didn't want to go into it. It was a touching show, but many people said it was too dark. The average listener didn't like it. They got depressed because everyone has grief, and they figure they don't want to hear about it. They want to hear other things. Maybe they listen to talk radio to get away from their other... Who knows? But I went there because that's the mood I was in, right? There's a lot of other stories out there. You've got Jorge Ramos of Univision. And he says things that are so racist, they're frightening. He goes on an MSNBC show or something like that. Jorge Ramos, who said the worst things about Trump and about America you could imagine. Jorge Ramos had the nerve on Fox News. Well, listen to it. You'll hear what you will hear now is a brown supremacist, in my opinion, in clip 18.
This is our country. It is yours. It is mine, and it is ours. The interesting thing is that with the Trump administration and many people who support Donald Trump, they think it is their country, that it is a white country, and they are absolutely wrong. This is not a white country. This is not their country. It is ours, and that's precisely what I'm saying. Look, in 2044, country, the white population will become a minority. It will be a minority-majority country. That's precisely what I'm saying. Latinos, Asians, African-Americans, whites, it is our country.
Who is this imposter to come to my beautiful country and be such a racist like this and not be challenged by the stooge with a bow tie on Fox News? That's another story I've never talked about. I always thought he was a lightweight stooge. Why Rupert Murdoch, Rupert Murky. Why Rupert Murky? Rupert Murky would pick the bow tie and put him on Fox News, who lets people run all over him like this, is not beyond my imagination. I know why Rupert Murky did it, because Rupert Murky is a liberal. Rupert Murky is a businessman. Rupert Murky is a businessman who goes which way the wind blows. It's that simple. So he picks bow tie and turns him into a star. He was always a lightweight. So he lets this racist go on his show and put the nation down like that and says nothing? Bow tie? Never a fan of bow tie. Who's undermining Trump the most? Progs, rhinos, or enemies within? Is Assange of WikiLeaks a patriot or traitor? Should Trump grant Julian Assange asylum? These are questions that I would like answered. And I think the callers have the answers, probably better than me. Well, I have my own answers. But if I'm going to sit here and I'm going to talk about Trump's war, I have to talk about Trump's war every day. But to begin with, I got to say this. If we only get 10% of what he promised, we are at least 110% ahead of what we would have had if she had won. Page 5. To begin with, Donald Trump has already made good on some essentials. The First Amendment will be safe under Trump, no matter what else he does or doesn't do. Donald Trump is never going to attack talk radio, as Hatchet Hillary promised to do. I can guarantee you there will be no return to the Fairness Doctrine, which was abolished in 1987. Neither is a Trump administration going to touch your guns. By appointing the next three judges to the Supreme Court, Trump may very well save the Second Amendment for the next 40 years. Page 5, Trump's war. But this is the best and most important thing. Perhaps most importantly, we're not going to be at war with Russia. As I said in my last book, Scorched Earth, it's life under Trump, death under Clinton. President Trump is going to repair our relationship with Russia in a way Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama's community destroyers like Secretary of State John Kerry could never have achieved. Trump decided to speak with Russian President Vladimir Putin before he even took office. The liberal media went insane. They all want war with Russia. It would have sold newspapers. It would have been good for defense contractors, who are all in bed with the politicians and media in the swamp. But it wouldn't have been good for America. So there is much to be thankful for. But now that Donald Trump has won the election, it's our job to make sure he does what we sent him to Washington to do, drain the swamp. And then I continue on page 6, one more paragraph. It's very important you hear me. I decided to write this book as a battle plan. I was curious myself about how President Trump could make good on his promises, not just because they were big and unprecedented, but because he would face opposition to so many of them. And then I wrote about and write about the enemies within. And I named them in the book, my book, the battle plan, Trump's war. So we come down to what's going on in front of our eyes today. We wake up and find out that WikiLeaks is now joining the Silicon Pirates. Great. There are other stories that I haven't gotten to. Pope slams rise of evil populism in Western democracies. What is it going to take? Does he have to wear a red beret and sing the Internacional for you to understand that the Pope is not a religious man, he is a politician? The Pope told Die Zeit on Thursday, that's a German newspaper, populism is evil and ends badly, as the past century showed. This is a man who runs a cult. The papacy is a cult. Everyone knows that. He is a god unto himself. And he's a very, very, very powerful god on the earth. And here he is attacking our president covertly. You believe the Pope is not attacking Trump when he says populism is evil? Who do you think he's attacking? Next story from the Washington Times. Trump's Get Tough policies credited for sharp plunge in illegal immigration. Daily Wire, Trump targets ISIS, U.S. Marines just landed in Syria. Now, this is a good one coming up next. Southern Illinois University hosts a library nap-in to have dreams of diversity. You couldn't make this up if you tried to. A university in Illinois, because of people who were never qualified to be in the university to begin with, they were let in under, let us say, open admissions plans to make the university look more diverse. Because they cannot study properly and they can't keep up with the other students, they've come up with this crazy insanity, a nap-in to help students dream of diversity. A so-called student coordinator, Marissa Amposta, is holding 4 2-hour naps in the library to internally generate student dreams of diversity as part of the Women's History Month. Do you have any idea what I am saying to you? This is called the death of the West. When you water down standards for the sake of diversity, what you create is a disaster on every level. I'm uncompromising in my statement that in order to have quality, in order to have quality anywhere, you have to have equality. But in order to have equality, you have to have quality. Let me put it to you that way. You want equality, then you have to have quality first, or we're all lost. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
All right, well, look, the topics are pretty clear. The callers are pretty dense. Let's go to one right now. Melanie, on the issue of whether Julian Assange is a hero or a traitor. Melanie, FTW, Florida, line 3. Go ahead, please.
I think Julian Assange is a hero. I do understand that he is going to the corporations that handle cell phones and things of that nature, but in any corrupt situation, corruption hates transparency. He may be going to the corporations, but we need to know what's going on. By the CIA doing business on U.S. soil, they're in violation of the Hatch Act, meaning that they can't be operating on U.S. soil. They're only supposed to be working overseas.
Right. I pointed that out with the church committee 2 days ago. No one even talked about it. The CIA is supposed to have, the Senate set up a committee to oversee the CIA, but they put a stooge in it called Dianne Feinstein, who conducted no oversight over the CIA, so far as we know.
Well, according to WikiLeaks, the CIA has an unlimited amount of funds, just about, and zero oversight. If you read the Vault 7 press release that just...
So who poses a greater threat to us, Julian Assange or the CIA?
I would say the CIA and whoever tells the CIA what to do. I mean, the CIA lied about...
Why should we trust the guy who has no oversight, who's not even an American citizen? When did he suddenly become George Washington?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
There must be some kind of way out of here.
He's a giant purple haze. That ain't the truth.
There's too much confusion.
Julian Assange has asylum in Ecuador's embassy. He's been there for 4 years. But his position is now tenuous because Guillermo Lasso, the front runner in Ecuador's presidential runoff set for April 2, has said that if elected, he will evict Julian Assange, which is going to put a huge pressure on Donald Trump. Does Trump grant Julian Assange asylum or not? Because this is going to be a big decision for him to make, which is why I'm asking you the question. I'm kind of a week ahead of this if it happens. What are you going to say? Should he be granted asylum? Is he a hero? George Washington? Lincoln? Who is he? You know, I don't know who he is. Do you have any idea who he is? Where'd he come from? He's a hacker. Does that make him a hero? Tell me something. Because you're a hacker, you're a hero now? Because you hate the CIA, now you're my friend? Must we throw out everything that the CIA has done as evil? Now we're falling into the trap of the illegitimate left. Right? Hasn't the illegitimate left said CIA is bad no matter what they've done? For decades we've heard they're no good. Yet somehow we're still living in the United States of America. Somehow they must have achieved some victories here and there. Speaking of the CIA, by the way, there's a terrible show on television. One of the worst. It's devolved to garbage, called Every Minute She's Crying Over Her Child. I forget her name on Showtime, whatever. What's it called, that very popular show? The blonde, Claire Danes. Horrible show. They should take it off the air immediately. You know, they have a guy named, a character named Saul Berenson, supposed to be CIA, and some other cretinous-looking guy. Is it F. Murray Abraham? Who has a name like that? Can it just be Murray Abraham? What do you have to do with F. Murray Abraham? Just call me Murray. What's the F? Anyway, they play CIA types in it. It was good for the first few years when they showed Islamofascism for what it was. So now they've turned the whole show around where Muslims are all victims. And to make matters even worse, this character, Saul Berenson, is played by a Maury Potemkin. I can't pronounce his name. Manny Potemkin. What do I know? I don't know what his name is. You know, bearded guy. He goes on NPR and he says that we've all depicted Muslims wrongly. We have to treat them another way. I said, what is this? What's going on in this country? Where did he suddenly become the conscience of America, how we should look upon Islamofascism? That's the end of it for me. I will never watch that show again. I forget its name anyway. She's horrible. Every scene, hysteria, reaching for her pills. Claire Danes. What is that show called? Homeland. I'm not watching it ever again. Seasons before it were excellent. Terrible. Awful. Preachy. Horrible. And it brings us right back to this. WikiLeaks says the CIA hacking division involved more than 5,000 registered users and it produced more than 1,000 hacking systems, Trojans, viruses, and other weaponized malware. Okay. What does that mean? Maybe they were trying to find terrorists amongst us. Why must we assume that they were doing something nefarious? Why do we assume that Assange is the good guy and the CIA is the bad guy? Maybe there's some good and some bad in both of them. Maybe it's not a zero-sum game. But when I read that WikiLeaks is joining with the tech companies like Google and Apple, which are monopolies, clear monopolies, that need to be looked into by the U.S. Justice Department Antitrust Division, there's an actual antitrust division in the U.S. Justice Department that is now more or less not doing very much. They must immediately look into whether or not these companies need to be broken up for the betterment of capitalism in America. So I want to know what you think. Barbara on WABC. Who's more dangerous, Julian or C?
Julian is more dangerous than the CIA. And the reason is we have absolutely no idea what his motivations are. We have no idea if any of our enemies are behind him. We have no idea if he could be up for sale by our enemies in the future. A good idea, maybe.
And that's a very keen insight, because remember when the Muslim terrorists were, the man was killed and the woman was captured. Remember in San Bernardino, they found their phones, and the FBI begged Tim Cook of Apple to give him the encryption, give the FBI the encryption codes so they can go into the phone and find out who they were communicating with. And Tim Cook said no to the government. Remember that? So which side is Apple on? Who's funding Apple? Who owns a lot of their stock? How do we know that a lot of the very same people are blowing us up aren't big owners of these tech giants?
That's a good question, and I wonder why they couldn't command him to give up the codes.
Why? Because he has more money than God himself. Because Apple has smeared so many congressmen and senators, he's above the law. He makes Don Corleone look like a shoeshine boy.
Why doesn't Trump just buy Assange and WikiLeaks, and then he'll have control over all of them?
Very funny. That's very funny. I don't think WikiLeaks is for sale. I know that there's a big website for sale whose previous owner-manager went to work for the government. No one wants to buy it. It'll remain unnamed. It's an internal rumor. Maybe you ought to buy that one. Then you'd be a big website operator. Then one day you might even be an advisor to a president. You never know how these things work. All right, Barbara, I know you're going to buy Trump's war anyway, but I'm going to give you a free one. Is that okay?
Oh, I'd love it. Thank you.
It's in the mail. Who's undermining Trump the most? Let's go to that question. Is it Barfly? Is it the Raging Bull? Is it... Who is it? Who's misleading him the most? He's only a man. He's a very successful businessman, and he has America's best interests at heart, I am sure, having met with him. But he is all surrounded by individuals who advise him, talk to him, whisper to him, guide him, make suggestions all day long. And, you know, human beings tend to be influenced by human beings around them. We know that Donald Trump doesn't pay attention to what Wolf Blitzer has to say, nor should he. So who is it who advises Donald Trump? Well, it was Barfly and the bulldozer. Barfly now, I think, has been sent to do a beauty contest in southern New Jersey. But the bulldozer is still there, and we don't know what the bulldozer is doing, what the bulldozer will do next. But there are other people around him who are advising him who we may not even know who they are. And no, here's something I have to say, and it's a terrible thing to say, and maybe I shouldn't. I'm very tired right now. I'm probably going to make the mistake of my life. And it could be there goes the dinner kind of thing. I better not say it. I shouldn't make a decision when I'm this tired. My head's spinning right now from the pressure I'm under. The book tour, the Skype not working. The rodent infestation of one of my studios drove me out of it. The tapping on the glass, the snatching of Teddy in the return. All of this, and allergies coming around this time of year, and my birthday coming up, and I get depressed. Every year whenever my birthday comes, I go into a steep depression. Go figure that one out. I don't know whether it's psychological or it's from the pollen. It's hard to tell the difference. No, yeah, it's every year, the same year, around March. I go, it's like, I know it's like rose fever or something. Who knows? My head hurts me, you know. So I'm not going to say what I'm going to say, but let me hint at it. Those around Donald Trump, very close to him, none of whom I've suggested or mentioned, are all liberals. Every one of them is a liberal. They were a liberal before he was president. They are a liberal after he is president, and yet they influence him every day. I mean, what do you have to be a genius to know who I'm talking about? I think it's pretty well known that he has true forces pulling him radically left. Maybe they should be talked to by him and say, you can't do this to me anymore. The people elected me, not you. And you're undermining my agenda. I mean, Michael Savage, I love the guy. I said I loved him in front of all those people. I said he made me the president, wouldn't be president without him. Those were his exact words. He doesn't have to say them in public. He doesn't have to tweet by Trump's war to 24 million followers for me to know that he respects me. I know he does. He ought to listen to me if this gets to him. There are people around you who were not elected who do not like your agenda. And some of them love you and you love them. But they may not be steering you in the right direction, Mr. Trump. We have a battle plan. And we have to look out for the people within your closest circles. Right? So I'll go there. I mean, progressive beliefs, they've destroyed America. They've ruined the family. They've ruined the church. They've ruined the economy. They've ruined the military. They've ruined the schools. What have the progressives not destroyed? So we had an American Revolution. And the head of the revolution is Donald Trump. But now we have forces within him that are trying to undo the revolution and steer him into the direction that we all oppose. So we're not just talking about the globalist central planners. We're not just talking about the obvious McCains and Lindsey Grahams. But there are many other people, the conservative ventriloquists, the neoconservative ventriloquists in the media, undermining him. They're connected to forces we can't even understand. Neoconservative ventriloquists are one line of problem for Donald Trump. But where about the disaffected middle Americans who are left behind by the globalist central planners? Who are the disaffected middle Americans? They're us. We are the deplorables. We are the undecideds. We would have sat out the election. So what is the direction that Donald Trump will take from here forward, seeing what's going on now? What is the roadmap? Trump can also nullify some of Emperor Barry Hussein's worst executive orders, which violate religious liberty, as I write in Trump's War. But, you know, somebody wrote me this. I never said it on the show. Do you know that with the stroke of a pen, Donald Trump can undo one thing and one thing immediately? He can undo Barry's first executive order. Do you know what Barry Obama's first executive order was? Sealing all of his records. I don't think you know that. The most transparent president in bowling history, Barack Obama, the first thing this transparent president did was sign an executive order dropping iron curtains around his past. You don't know that. The first executive order that Barry Obama passed said that no one could look into his college records, his citizenship, where he went to school, what his grades were, what he wrote. If Donald Trump would have signed an executive order nullifying Mr. Obama's first executive order, we may learn things that are very uncomfortable, but it may blow the lid off every question we have been asking. Even this question of who poses a greater threat to this country, WikiLeaks or the CIA? Or is Assange a patriot or a traitor? Should Trump grant Julian Assange asylum? KSFO, Oscar Line 2, go ahead, please. What's your topic?
Hey, Dr. Savage. Real quick, and I'm driving, so I wasn't able to do the research on this, but there's a GOP contributor family, huge, and they're very secretive, that are the board.
Mercer. They're the Mercer family, never mentioned in radio, M-E-R-C-E-R. Go ahead, tell us who they are.
So Mercer family owns Breitbart, and that's how Bannon got into this circle of thing. They're also huge GOP folks.
Bingo.
Part of their portfolio was managed by the skirt, whatever her name is. Okay. So
what? Who? Barfly?
Yeah, Barfly. Supposedly she.
Barfly managed the Mercer's portfolio.
Supposedly, some aspect of her portfolio. Yes. Yes. Now,
how did you learn about the Mercers as being behind the scenes influences? Where'd you learn this?
Some research that my wife and I have been doing.
You didn't hear it on another show, for example?
No, not at all.
What's funny, I mentioned the name Mercer before you did, because I've known about them for quite a while. When Barfly appeared with Donald Trump last Halloween, wearing an absurd costume at a house out in Long Island, the house was that of the Mercers, is that correct?
I believe that is
correct. Yes, that's when I put two and two together. And that explains an awful lot of why things are going off the rails right now.
I think it goes deeper. I think it explains Prius as the chief of staff and everything that he's been doing. We've got a classic non-Machiavellian court of jesters around Donald, and it's no wonder he's off the rails 9 times out of 10.
Well, I don't know that he's off the rails. I think that his policies are intelligent.
No,
but I think that the order in which they're being presented is out of order, number one. And I think, number two, he's doing things that maybe should have been done 6 months from now or a year from now rather than the domestic stuff, which should be done right up front.
That's exactly what I'm
saying. Anyway, Oscar, you're a very, very keen caller, and you've helped millions of people just now understand some of the power structure behind the power structure. I'm sure you're going to love reading Trump's War, which I'm sending to you. The time right now is 48 minutes after the hour. You're listening to The Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Now, more of The Savage Nation on Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
You know, here we are talking about the CIA, the NSA, and top intelligence agencies know that all of our sensitive secrets, and they can be hacked. We found that out, right? It's funny to me that we now know that safety and privacy of our finances are over. I mean, how safe and private do you think your finances are sitting in the cyber world? Who hacked them? How about your stock accounts? Your saving accounts, even your 401ks. Frankly, that's why I turned to Swiss America for answers about protecting the Savage household finances and privacy. One book explained it all. Don't bank on it. Craig wrote it. And for a limited time, the first 500 calls can get a free copy. Only 500 of you are going to get it. What timing this is. 800-289-2646. 800-289-2646. It's a free book on exactly the topic we're talking about. And you'll learn how to protect your money against what even the CIA cannot protect. Please do it now. It's free. It's a book. 800-289-2646. 800-289-2646. For a free copy of the book, don't bank on it. What timing this is. Unfortunately, the timing is amazing. And it's time for me to say goodbye to some of my affiliates and say hello to others. Many of us know that some stations leave after 2 hours. Some come on the third hour. But the questions remain. Who is undermining Trump the most? Progs, rhinos, or enemies within? Is Julian Assange a WikiLeaks a patriot or traitor? Should Trump grant Julian Assange asylum? There are no bigger questions to me. By the way, many of these questions are discussed in detail in Trump's War. It's a must read.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Some writers and critics who prophesize with your pen.
I can't listen to it. Turn it off. In the old days, you could listen to every lyric, hang on every word, like, what's he saying? Why do I have to wait for a guitar string to hear what a guy has to say? Can't he just be a talk show host and say it like it is? Welcome to Hour 3 of the Savage Nation. I don't need a guitar and a strum and a little, you know, a falsetto voice to tell you what I'm thinking. Serious business. We're all being spied on, but now we're facing a Hobson's choice here. Who's worse, the CIA or WikiLeaks? It's a Hobson's choice. It's like when we went through this, remember last spring, was it, when the Muslims went on the rampage in San Bernardino? They killed all their co-workers in cold blood, butchering them. And then one of their cell phones was found. The FBI wanted to break into it. They went to Apple. Tim Cook got up and said, no, I'm not giving you any method to break in. No encryption. We're not giving you the encryption codes. And he stood up to the FBI. The FBI, frankly, should have arrested him and tried him for whatever the crime would have been, because he was blocking an investigation that was very serious. But nobody dares take on the Silicon Pirates. The Silicon Pirates are above the law. The Silicon Pirates, like Mark Zuckerberg, Tim Cook, and the others, are now bigger than the U.S. government. And frankly, they may pose a greater threat to us than do the terrorists themselves. They may pose a greater threat to us than does the CIA. And that leads me to the very serious question I've asked for the last 2 hours. Who poses a greater threat to us, the CIA or WikiLeaks? Because as I've said before, and I have to say it again, there was this discussion back in the 1970s, shortly after Watergate, and a Select Intelligence Committee was created to have oversight over the FBI, CIA, NSA. Of course, what happened is it became a rubber stamp for these agencies. That's why they put a stooge like Dianne Feinstein in there. She did nothing in the 6 years she was on that committee. Nothing. She is the one most responsible for the rogue elements in the CIA right now, in my estimation. But that's a separate issue. The issue really is, who poses a greater threat to our, let us say, security and privacy, for that matter? It's an interesting question. I don't really have a clear answer on this. I think both sides here offer something to us, but both sides threaten us as well. It's not good, bad, period. It's not a dichotomy of one side is good, one side is bad. One of them is not great, the other evil. The CIA has done and is doing great work. I mean, let's stop already with the childish view that everything the CIA does is wrong, everything the FBI does is wrong. That's such a progressive liberal 60s viewpoint. It's absurd. Stupid. How would you even know what they're doing? How would you even know what kind of covert action they're taking to stop terrorism? We have to assume that they are doing their work somewhere. There are people in the field somewhere doing their work, stopping terrorist attacks. I mean, why must you assume that they're all bad? So just on the logical assumption that there's some good work being done, we need the intelligence agencies. We can't live without them. On the other hand, they can't be rogue agencies simply doing what they want and spying on everyone. So now we're back to the question of Julian Assange is leaking all this information, secret information that he stole out of the FBI database, stole it. Remember what he did now. He hacked into and stole CIA data. Think about what I just said to you. What if you woke up and someone stole your bank accounts? What are you going to say? He's a hero because he stole your bank accounts? It's still stealing. It's a crime to hack into someone's private accounts. So why shouldn't it be a crime to hack into a corporation's accounts? In this sense, the CIA is a corporation. He committed a crime. I'm sorry, I don't like it. I don't like this idea that he's suddenly a Robin Hood, that he's doing us all a favor. There's something wrong with this picture. And what triggers this for me is that I'm reading that he's going into cahoots with Apple, Google, and the other Silicon Pirates, and he's going to teach them what the CIA is doing to do their stuff so they can't do it anymore. Something's wrong with the picture. How do we know that they're not all working for nefarious foreign entities? How do we know that? How do you know that? How do you know that these corporations have not put their profits above our security and safety? Why wouldn't you assume that that's exactly what they're doing? And, on the other hand, how do we know who Julian Assange really is? Where did he come from? Why is he suddenly considered such a great hero of the left? Is Julian Assange a hero of the left or of the right? Who respects him more, the left or the right? Who is he a hero to? Who's a greater threat? KFAQ in Oklahoma. Lewis, go ahead. Have your say on the Savage Nation.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I think unquestionably Julian Assange is a greater threat. This is a guy who has ties to Putin going back to 2012. There's a New York Times article that's still on the internet searching me. He had a show, a talk show on Russian television, which was founded by Putin way back in like 2005.
Yeah, but that's not a crime. I mean, Larry King has a show on RT as well.
But this is a guy who I think is acting on behalf of the Russians to discredit and embarrass the United States for whatever reason. You know, they're not going to give just anybody a show on RT television. And, you know, Larry King's not exactly a conservative guy, I don't think.
Well, let's put him aside. I mean, what you're saying is what? So Julian Assange works for the Russians?
I think the evidence kind of leads back to a really tight relationship with Russian television, which is propaganda for the Russian government. And
I watch it quite frequently to get the news, frankly.
Pardon?
Yeah, a lot of it is left-wing, very left-wing. A lot of the shows that are on RT are extreme left-wing gibberish. They're pretty bad.
Yeah.
Even Jesse Ventura has a crappy show on RT. Did you know that?
I did not.
Oh, it's awful. Probably the worst show in time. It's worse than Homeland.
Listen, their agenda is not to promote...
Yeah, but there are some brilliant commentators. By the way, we're speaking about RT Russian television. I get it on Comcast. Some nights I can't take the American news. I never watch it. I don't watch American news at all. The only place I get my news is on the Internet, incidentally. I never get it on the television. If I get really bored and I want news from around the world, I go to RT because some of the women commentators are geniuses. Multilingual, so incisive, it's hard to believe. And some of the guests know things that I never hear discussed here in America. So I can't blanketly say RT is run by Putin and it's all propaganda. Well, on the other hand, you fear who? Him more than the CIA or who?
Oh, I think the CIA can be controlled. If the CIA is controlled by whoever is theoretically, you know, the president. He's going to appoint the director of the CIA, and the CIA is going to follow the pulls on those strings.
Correct. The CIA has to answer to somebody at some point. At the end of the day, they're still bureaucrats, and they can be tried for some of the things that they do. Julian Assange is above the law. He can't be tried by anybody.
And it looks to me like maybe Russia is pulling his strings. He hasn't put anything out there that discredits Russia that I'm aware of or that embarrasses Russia. It's always...
That's interesting. No, it's a very interesting commentary that you're making. In Trump's war against the deep state, I actually talk about these topics, and there's something in there that I really should mention. It's a long story, but it's worth doing in 2 minutes or less. Remember the story about the DNC being hacked, right? We all heard about that. Well, do you know the DNC would not allow the FBI to study or to see its computer info after it was supposedly hacked by Russia? That was a tweet by Donald Trump. He said the DNC would not allow the FBI to study or see its computer info after it was supposedly hacked by Russia. What is that all about? Doesn't it make you suspicious? Are you ready for this? Page 239, I disclose something no one else has disclosed in this country in a book. Are you ready for this? Do you know who the highly respected private company was that had sole access to the DNC server? It was a company called CrowdStrike, which was given $100 million by Google Capital to investigate Russian hacking of the DNC. Now, we all know where Google's political sympathies lie. The chairman of its parent company, Alphabet Inc., is a longtime Hillary Clinton supporter and Democrat Party donor. but it gets better. CrowdStrike was founded by cybersecurity experts George Kurtz and Dmitry Alperovich. There's more about that. Alperovich is a fellow of the Atlantic Council, a think tank that lists Ukraine and Europe among its initiatives. Can you believe this? The entire U.S. intelligence community may be relying on information provided by a private cybersecurity firm founded by an anti-Russian activist and funded by Google. And we're supposed to take this firm's finding at their word? This is all in Trump's war. It's really an important expose right here. And I think that you'll see that it may not just be Russia that we should be worried about. It could be the anti-Russian activist that we should be worried about, Lewis, as well.
Wow.
Thank you for the call, and I'm sending you Trump's war. Nothing is as simple as it seems on first analysis. There's always complexities. But when I see the DNC, the DNC server issue was investigated by a private company called CrowdStrike, given $100 million by Google Capital to investigate Russian hacking of the DNC. And we know Google is sympathetic to Democrats and to Hillary. And now we see that Google and Julian Assange are suddenly allies against the CIA. Could it be that we're seeing things backwards? Could it be that next we're going to learn something else that we don't want to know about the other side of the aisle? Something's wrong with this whole picture. I cannot say that I know where this is going. I'm only a man alone in a checked shirt sitting here at a studio somewhere in the San Francisco area. I have no allies in the government. I have no friends in the security services. Nobody feeds me inside information. I'm simply trying to apply Aristotelian logic, but I have limited information about the subject. So therefore, all of my statements and conclusions are limited, period. That's a whole sentence, are limited. They're limited by my information. When I have more information, I'll be able to give you a more intelligent analysis of who the bigger threat is. But I wouldn't run along rush to judgment all of a sudden and say everything the CIA does is evil and everything Julian Assange is heroic. That's absurd. Especially when we see Julian Assange and WikiLeaks lining up with Google and Apple. Something's really, really wrong with the picture. Now, let's go back to the election. Julian Assange saved us from Hillary Clinton. Remember he gave the WikiLeaks dump just before the election? It destroyed her. Do you remember that or not? Well, now he's lining up with the very people who supported Hillary. So what does this mean? Where is this going? Listen to me. You got to understand what I just said to you. Julian Assange cost Hillary Clinton the election. Make no mistake about it. That's why she lost. It was all those hidden emails. It was the threat of releasing them. It was all of his dumps, blah, 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 WikiLeaks dumps. It undermined her. That was the end of that election, of her campaign. Okay. So you say, well, he's a good guy. He's on the side of Trump. Good. We love him. Now we wake up, and he's joining with the very forces that backed Hillary Clinton to block the CIA in some of their endeavors. So what is he doing? Which side is he on? Who's pulling the strings? Who's really the man behind the scenes? Who is it? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Well, something popped up on the show today about a personality of the Mercer family. I don't know them. They're probably good people. They're big. They were bundlers for Donald Trump. They are the ones who put Barfly into her position. No one's ever talked about them. I don't think their name has ever come up, even on the great Alex Jones show. I'm an independent. I have no connections to anybody, and I'll stumble into areas maybe I shouldn't go into. But that's what came up today. So who are the Mercers? What do they have to do with this whole picture? Simon on WABC, go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael. I just wanted to follow up on the prior phone call with the guy mentioning Robert Mercer. He just happens to be the co-founder of Renaissance Technologies, which is the most successful hedge fund on the planet today. And there seems to be a mutiny that's going on inside of their company right now because Jim Simons, who's the other founder, he voted for Hillary. So we got one voting for Hillary, one voting for Trump, and it's creating...
Also, Mercer is a good supporter of Trump. That's a given. Right?
Correct.
and his partner is a good supporter of the Democrats.
That's correct. Now, as
but what about this issue, though, of the bigger issue of the Mercers and their control over the over the Trump administration? I mean, what is their agenda at the end of the day, Simon?
Their agenda, to be honest with you, I don't know. But what I found interesting was one of the code writers at Renaissance Technology. He's been bringing politics into the office. And he was just recently suspended because he was losing his mind, pretty much, you know, because of the direction that Trump was going. And he kind of was trying to sabotage the...
So this code writer was a left-winger, a so-called progressive?
Correct. And
all right, so what you've said so far is that Mr. Mercer is a very good conservative supporter of Donald Trump. That's what you've said so far.
That's what
now,
I...
Why do we have to look beyond that? I mean, he helped get Donald Trump elected by giving him a lot of money. So where's the problem? I don't know if there is a problem here. Simon, I'm sending you Trump's war. We'll have to see where this leads us. The real big question is, WikiLeaks, Julian Assange. Is he a hero or is he a traitor? And you know why it's so important? Because if he is kicked out of Ecuador next week when the election occurs on April 2nd, because the guy running to take over Ecuador says that if he wins, he's going to throw Julian Assange out. He'll end his asylum. So where's Julian Assange going to go? He's going to apply to Donald Trump for asylum. Now, Donald Trump's going to have a tremendous choice to make. Grant him asylum or say no? And that question's going to come up when it comes up. You're going to hear it. You heard it first today on the Savage Nation. Think about this. I mean, is he a hero or is he a threat to our security? Something's wrong with the Julian Assange issue that he's lining up with Google and Apple like this. I don't like it. Something smells. I can't put my finger on the garbage.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Obamacare has morphed into Trump care. It's no different, everyone knows that. McConnell, the gobbler from Kentucky after he got the coal bill, laughs at us and says tax cuts, oh, forget about it, they'll have to wait. McConnell, head of the Senate, Republican so-called, says, tax cuts? No, they're going to have to wait. Mexico? They're going to pay for the wall? Nah. So it's as though Obama is still president, isn't it? In other words, the establishment is still running the country. Now, we've had deck chairs moved around. So I raise a question to the audience today. Who is undermining Trump the most? Is it the progressives? Is it the rhinos? Or are there other enemies within his administration who are destroying his presidency right now as we speak? I decided to write this new book, Trump's War, as a battle plan because I was curious about how President Trump could make good on his promises, not just because they were big and unprecedented, but because he would face opposition to so many of them. I wrote that on page 6 of this new book, and I said his biggest fight will not be keeping his promises, but avoiding the pitfall of almost every public servant from small town first selectman to commander in chief. Temptation. Listen to what I wrote. The temptation to be assimilated into the Washington morass is powerful. Surrounded by yes men and women who will say anything you want to hear, possessing more power than any human being in history, you become convinced of your own, dare I say it, your own divinity. That's right. Obama succumbed. So did the Clintons. They didn't learn from the history they were supposedly taught in school. In Imperial Rome, generals riding through the city in a triumphant celebration were accompanied by an auriga, a slave, who repeatedly whispered in their ear, "Memento homo, remember you are only a man." The enemies within, I write. No, it's not going to be easy. There are armies of special interests on the right and on the left that have trillions to lose if we succeed in restoring this nation and draining the swamp. They're going to fight hard to hold on to their ill-gotten gains, just as the British tried to hold on to their colonies. The celebration ends today. It's time to prepare for Trump's war. This is all in the book, Trump's War, but we're not fighting on battlefields with rifles. We are fighting an entrenched establishment whose weapons of mass destruction are far more devious than those of King George III. Instead of cannons and muskets, the establishment uses a corrupt media and an insidious network of violent agitators to wage a psychological war instead of a military one. Instead of shelling your town, they seek to imprison your mind with political correctness, envy, politics, and intimidation. So I'm going to pause right there, reading from my book, Trump's War, and ask you some pointed questions, because I would like to see what the voters have to say. Who do you think is undermining Trump the most? Who is undermining the agenda that we voted for the most? The progressives are certainly doing all they can, so they're a given. The McConnells, the Ryans, the Rhinos, are certainly doing everything they can to undermine him. But I'm getting at something else. Do you think that there are people in his inner circle who are actually undermining him, and who would that be? People have said that perhaps Steve Bannon is a loose cannon whose extreme right-wing views, which by the way match mine, don't get me wrong here, his views match mine. Everything he says I believe in. However, there's a huge difference between saying it on the radio, writing it on a blog, writing it on a website, and then trying to enact policy for the President of the United States. Huge difference. Big difference. Not the same thing. And I don't think that anyone has really carefully understood that by moving so rapidly and so hard on so many things that were dear to us, in the wrong way, by the way, Steve Bannon may have actually undermined President Trump. That's one opinion that people are floating out there. I want to ask a bigger question, and I'm asking two questions today. Who is undermining Donald Trump the most? McConnell says tax cuts, nah. Border wall, never happened. We see the Obamacare thing has really become just a charade. Shuffling cards around. It's fundamentally Obamacare has become Trump care. And the reason is simple. Let's be very honest with each other. Once you give benefits to a large population, you can never take them back. I'm sorry to tell you that. It would be like waking up tomorrow and hearing that Trump has cut Social Security by 20%. Can you imagine what would happen if Social Security checks were cut by 20%? Or waking up tomorrow and hearing that he cut, I don't know, another federal program, Medicare, Medicaid by 20%, or a higher copayment. What do you think would happen to all the people who've gotten used to visiting doctors as often as they want for nothing? They'd scream that something has been taken away from them. Where in the world is it written that you're entitled to go to specialists if you're poor? Tell me where it's written that you're entitled to visit as many doctors as you wish, as often as you want, and demand the top specialists for free. Where? Many of the Russian emigres come over here, and I speak to doctors here in San Francisco who are appalled at the behavior of the Russians in particular, and I've heard this 10, 15 years ago. Everything the Russians were promised under communism, which they never got, they get here in America, and they demand it, and they spit in the face of the doctor who doesn't give it to them. Free ambulance care, the top of the best of specialists, aides in their houses to take them to a restaurant. How can a country survive with this kind of madness? People are asking. When will it end? It doesn't end with Trump care, apparently. It's the same old game. So again, my friends, we all have a war in our hands, and I'm asking you pointedly, who is most responsible for derailing the Trump revolution? I want to get back to politics. Who is undermining President Trump? How are we going to help him win this war that we voted for? Donald Trump and the patriots who elected him have vowed to stand to take their country back. But standing in their way are far-left radicals who've taken over the Democrat Party. Rhinos like Ryan and McConnell and Lindsey Graham and McCain protecting their big business special interests, the War Party. War profiteers with trillions to lose if Trump restores peace. Well, I don't see peace coming, by the way. He just sent Marines to Syria. And it's going to be well beyond 500. We're now on the ground in Syria in big numbers. Is that good or bad? You want more troops in Syria? He said he's going to crush ISIS. Well, Russia unleashed its air force. Maybe we have to unleash our ground troops. Didn't see any vote on that. I thought we're supposed to have a War Powers Act. Every time Obama burped, we screamed he did something wrong. He said, oh, no, no, he should go to Congress to send troops here or there. He didn't do it. And there were screeches from the right. Whenever Obama did anything, we screeched from the right. Where is the War Powers Act? Why was there no vote on whether we should send troops to Syria? Do I have to mention the liberal media who will stop at nothing to bring Trump down? Trump's war against the enemies within. Who is undermining Trump the most? We see that there's going to be no tax cuts, no border wall. God knows what's coming next. $1 trillion in stimulus spending. Let's hope that it's along the lines of privatization. Then the $1 trillion isn't coming from our tax base. I talked about toll roads last week and what they were. But who was undermining Trump the most? Progressives, rhinos, or enemies within? And I want names. The list I'm about to read to you of people and organizations who receive money from George Soros is the beginning list. This is the pocket list of groups that need to be looked into by the new Justice Department. As I said earlier, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle called his fictional character Dr. Moriarty of the Sherlock Holmes stories. He called him the Napoleon of crime. I write that George Soros, in my opinion, is the Napoleon of American socialism. And then I list the number of subversive organizations that he received funding from. And I list them for you in 4 pages, 5 pages in Trump's ward. You have to have the list. I'm sorry. You have to own it. Because people are going to say, oh, you're making it up. These are not bad people. Amnesty International, Arab American Institute Foundation, Aspen Institute, Association of Community Organizations for Reform. Now we go to the B's. Ballot Initiative Strategy Center, Soros. Bill of Rights Defense Committee, Soros. Black Alliance for Just Immigration, Soros. Blueprint North Carolina, Soros. Brennan Center for Justice, Soros. Brookings Institution, Soros. Would you want the C's? You're not going to like what you're going to hear. Catholics for Choice, Soros. Catholics in Alliance for the Common Good, Soros. Center for Reproductive Rights, Soros. I can't read them all to you. I'll go to the D's. Democracy Alliance, Democracy 21, Democracy Now. Democratic Justice Fund, Democratic Party. Demos, Drum Major Institute. Let's go to the E's, Earth Justice. I can read all of them to you. You'll buy them and read it yourself. F, Feminist Majority. Soros money. Free exchange on campus, Soros money. You know, there's a big difference between a free press and a freak press. Let me tell you, as someone who lives in the First Amendment, I live by it. I stand by it. I've been punished by it. I've been rewarded by it. Big difference between a free press and a freakish press. You want to go to the G's, the H's? Human Rights Campaign, Human Rights First, Human Rights Watch. How about the I's? Immigrant Defense Project, Immigrant Legal Resource Center, Immigration Advocates Network, Immigrant Worker Citizenship Project, Immigration Policy Center. How about the J's? J Street, Soros. Jewish Funds for Justice, Soros. Joint Victory Campaign, 204. Justice at Stake, Latino Justice, PRLDF. Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law, Soros. League of United Latin American Citizens, Soros. League of Women Voters Education Fund, Soros. You want to go to the M's? Malcolm X Grassroots Movement. You want to go to the N's? How about the M's? Mexican American Legal Defense and Education Fund? I'll read some of those that you may know. MoveOn.org, Soros. NARAL, Pro-Choice America. NAACP, Legal Defense and Education Fund, Soros. This snake, this octopus, has his hands in his... He has his tentacles in every leftist agitation group in the country. N. National Council for Research on Women. National Council of La Raza. National Public Radio, Soros. Can you imagine that National Public Radio, some of the most talentless broadcasters in America who receive huge salaries from the taxpayer, also receive money from Soros? You know what they would make if they were had to go out into the free market like I do every day? You know what happened to their ratings if they had to read ads and have ads run on their show? The ratings would plummet. You realize their ratings are high because there's no ads. It's not because their message is loved so much. I'll give you an example. If I had no ads on my show, I'd have no show to begin with because it's a commercial radio program. But let's say I had no ads whatsoever. None. No recorded ads, no live ads. Just me and guests. My ratings would triple. That's just the way it is. So NPR is a biased organization. It's a fake organization. Fake ratings. Natural Resources Defense Council. Soros. New Israel Fund. Soros. News Corp Watch, Soros. Pacifica Foundation, Soros. You get the picture. Physicians for Social Responsibility, Soros. Planned Parenthood, Soros. Plowshares Fund. Presidential Climate Action Project. Prison Moratorium Project. Oh, that's a good one. Prison Moratorium Project. They have blood on their hands. Two cops were shot in California because of the moratorium in prisons on poor jailed illegal aliens. One of them with tattoos up to his head came out. He had been in and out of jail. He was stopped on a traffic violation. He shot two cops, killing one of them. All a result of liberalism, the mental disorder. ProPublica, Proteus Fund, Public Citizen Foundation. I can read all of them to you, but I'm not going to, because I'm going to go back to something else when I come back. And remember, I never called for government action against anyone spending their own money as they wish, even to promote socialist nonsense, as long as I am free to combat it. But when violent revolutionaries seek to tear down the pillars of civil society and assault anyone who dissents from their nihilistic view, then there is a role for Donald Trump's government to step in and defend life, liberty, and property against those who wish to destroy them. This is all in Trump's war. I know that you want the document. I know you're going to buy it. It's not that I'm sitting here with bated breath waiting for you to make the book a bestseller. This is the architectural plan for a new America. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
We ask ourselves today, who is undermining Trump the most? I don't want to go where you think you should go if you're a Trump hater, because I'm not a Trump hater. I'm a Trump lover. I like Donald Trump personally. I met him. I like him. I backed him not because I liked him. I backed him because his policies, as expressed during the campaign, matched my own. And I have to say right now, we're not too happy with what's happening. We see a lot of disarray. Many of us think that there's somebody or some elements within the administration itself who are purposely misleading Mr. Trump. You heard me. I'll say it again. There may be individuals within the administration who are misleading him, making him go too far, too fast, for example, in the wrong directions. I mean, if it was me, I would have done domestic policy first. I would have rebuilt steel mills in Pennsylvania, West Virginia. I would have taken some of my trillionaire friends who were investing lots of money in America to go out there and put on hard hats and, you know, just show that we're going to put in new factories, and then slowly gotten around to the big picture of national security. Okay, so now we come down to what's going on today. We wake up to today and we read that Donald Trump, as commander-in-chief, has ordered troops into Syria. Did you read about that anywhere? It's not even on the Drudge Report. Robert, is it showing up anywhere? Tanks and American troops in Syria? How did that happen? I don't even know if that's a good thing. Is that a good or a bad thing? Oh, they're facing, but we want to crush ISIS, right? Isn't that how these quagmires get started? With the best of intentions, 500 advisors, then 500 tanks. Then what? What if we woke up in October and we had read that Obama had sent, I don't know, 2,000 troops in and 100 tanks? What would you have done? You would have screamed your shoes off. Where's the War Powers Act? Maniac, dictator. You would have said that, wouldn't you? I don't know. What are we doing in Syria now? Why are we in Vietnam? Why are we in Syria? To crush ISIS? Russia's doing a pretty good job, as is the Iraqi army. So why can't we just supply the Iraqi army with more weapons and the Kurds with more weapons? Why must American boys die for world peace again? I don't know. The answer is I don't know. Who's running the show is the question.